a lot of my guests are on the East Coast anyways. So it's like, hey, Kyle, you wanna come on our podcast at 8 p.m.? Nobody wants to do that, you know? So... Welcome to the Dr. Dex podcast. My name is Jason Russell. I am also known as Dr. Dex. And I have an extremely special guest today. My friend, Kyle Stumpenhorst, is RR, also known as RR Buildings, not only on Instagram, but also on YouTube. You're probably on a bunch of other social, like you're on everything, right?
Yeah, I think mostly. I mean, I don't do much on Threads, but or LinkedIn, but I'm there. I'm present.
But you also have a TikTok account, right?
Yep, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
And you do a video game one too? Twitch or something?
You know,
like that?
I haven't done the video game one in a while. I don't know. Can't do it all. And video gaming is my outlet, Jason. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to turn it into another job.
I get it personally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man. I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kyle, let's go back. Let's start. I want to know about you, like, as a child. What was your childhood like? If you want to talk about it. If you don't want to talk about it, totally cool.
Yeah.
And then junior high, high school, we'll go from there. Let's see where we land.
All right. Interesting. Nope. You know, I've done a lot of podcasts. No one's ever asked about that far back. They want to know how I got into the trades, but they never asked me.
Well, hey man, we'll get there. We will get there. But I mean, were you like a rebellious smoking child where were you from? Like, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the Midwest. Always have been here in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I got two brothers and a sister.
You do?
I'm
okay.
Third in line. So I got two older brothers, younger sister. Mm-hmm. I'm probably like the most straight arrow kid. I mean, obviously I was a rambunctious boy. I mean, wrestled and, you know, got in fights with my brothers and stuff like that. But
that warmed you up a little bit to the world, right?
No smoking, no drinking beer early. Uh-huh. I waited till, you know, I was in college, I guess. Straight A student, like a perfect GPA, valedictorian of high school.
No kidding.
Yep,
valedictorian. Wait a minute. Hold on. So valedictorian means like you're smarter than everybody else, do the teachers vote for that, or how does that work?
No, that's strictly grades, man. And honestly, grades came easy. I had a good memory. I had a good, you know, I was a good test taker. I didn't study. I just had the knowledge, you know.
Ooh.
Like, I just, if somebody said something, if I was in a class, I'd pay attention to the teacher. I just knew it. I just heard it, and that was it, you know.
Okay. Were you into sports at all in high school?
Yep, I did. Yeah. I was a gymnast in middle school, so you said
no
to start
kidding.
Back. Yep, I was a gymnast.
What was your favorite event as a gymnast?
Probably the floor exercise. So I loved just doing flips and things like that, you know.
Oh, radical. Dude, no wonder your shoulders are hammered. You always said it was because you're pushing yourself through those rafters, but it was because you're a gymnast when you're in junior high school, man.
Yep.
So how many years did you do that for?
Yeah, honestly, I think that was a huge start. My parents put me in it because they thought I had ADHD and I was, you know, just full of energy all the time. And they were like, we need to find something. And so they put me in gymnastics. I did that for probably 4 years competitively, you know. I mean, I think my best was like third in state. You know, I made it for like an all-around score. And the problem was when you're in a small town, which I had 20 people in my class, so small town, everybody played football, basketball, baseball. And so when I got into seventh grade, I decided I didn't want to be known because, you know, you go back 30 years almost. It was a different time, dude. When you were a boy doing gymnastics,
yeah,
it was not looked at as masculine as a boy doing football. So I kind of broke down to peer pressure. I quit gymnastics and I went and played football. And Jason, I probably never should have. I was a good gymnast and I wish I would have kept doing it. I really enjoyed it.
Were the chicks into it at all? Did they dig that?
I mean, at that age, I don't think I cared. It was more like I liked the competition. I liked the work. Like, I enjoyed workouts, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of sad because I hear you. I totally hear what you just said. I totally vibe with that because you look at the gymnasts nowadays, like at the Olympics and whatnot, and everybody's kind of a hero.
Yeah.
You know, dudes like these dudes are cool, godly. Man. Clark yeah. Kent, you know, the dude yeah. on the pommel horse, right? I didn't yep. really follow it, but I mean, he made world news. So yep. totally yep. awesome, man. I had no idea that you did that. But okay, so let me ask you this. Did that set of skills, has that set of skills helped you at all in your future?
Well, I would say so because gymnastics was a lot about discipline, body awareness, overall like balanced, you know, just being balanced because as a gymnast, you can't just have a strong arm or a strong leg. Like you had to be holistic to do gymnastics. And I think that put me down the path of being able to both understand hard work because like we were forced as competition, like we worked hard and I was young and no one else my age was doing that level of hard work really in the athletics. I mean, yeah, if you played football or basketball, you go to practice and shoot around and do things, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. gymnastics was Monday through Friday, you know, 3 hours. I would leave my school. My mom would pick me up at, you know, grade school, middle school. She would have a lunch for me in the car. We would drive 45 minutes to the gym, work out for 2.5 hours, drive home. And that was like my life for a few years.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that just set up in my life a lot of best practices, you know, work hard.
Yeah.
And
that was commitment. That's commitment. Like yeah. just your parents, your poor parents, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I really just want to sit down and relax. Nope. I'm taking Kyle to gymnast.
I blame them because it was all their decision. It wasn't my decision.
Oh, really? But it's cool that you ended up digging it, man. Like,
yep.
I'm sorry to hear about the peer pressure, and I totally understand that. And yep. we all succumb to that, you know, as youngsters. But, yep. Okay, so how far into grade, or was that junior high and high school?
Like six. Yeah, that was, so football really is what did it, and that was seventh grade. So I quit gymnastics around sixth grade. Started playing football, basketball, you know, at the school, mm-hmm. at that age. And I loved it. I mean, I was good and, mm-hmm. Fit right in. I mean, we didn't have a lot of people on the team. So ultimately I got a lot of playing time, you know, and,
okay.
I kind of did that through high school. I was a good, I was an Eagle Scout. So I also did Boy Scouts. I was an Eagle cool. Scout. So I worked my way through that.
And that's another persona. Like a lot of kids, like yep. from my town, I was a Weeblo for a while, and then I kind of dropped out of that, man. But yep. To go to an Eagles, to actually get that accreditation, yep. those are life skills that just yep. propel you future in your future. And well, I'm total respect, man.
I think once again, I was taught by my parents, you start, you finish. And so the commitment side of I started Boy Scouts. We had a real, my dad was assistant scout master. So he had a lot of, you know, responsibility in the troop and my brothers did it. They all became Eagle Scouts. I was the third Eagle Scout of the family. Mm. We had a great group of people and I love camping. I love doing Boy Scout stuff. So it was not as much about being a Boy Scout as it was going out in nature. Sure. You know, shooting guns, bow and arrows, camping,
burning making, stuff.
Yeah. So that was, cool. that was, there was no downtime as a high schooler for me. It was always, either Boy Scouts, basketball, baseball, football. And, you know, lucky for me, my education came super easy. So I never had homework, you know.
How many people were in your graduating class?
19.
Okay, so your valedictorian status just dropped a little bit.
Well, hey, I agree, and I always tell people
it still counts.
I was also prom king, and you know I only had to be chosen prom king by about probably 12 other guys. But
mad
the thing
respect,
was,
bro.
You know, I didn't get anything but A's and A pluses. So you know, it could have been 1,000 people, or it could have been 19.
Sure.
And I mean, I would at least had a decent shot at valedictorian.
You're well in the running regardless of the size of your graduating class. That's
you know,
amazing.
It doesn't do
I mean,
for
still,
me now, Jason.
You can, huh?
It doesn't do anything for me now. It was cool in the moment, you know?
It is cool in the moment, you know, because those are memories you'll have probably for the rest of your life. You probably didn't think about those memories for a while, but that's what's different about the Dr. Dex podcast is that we bring it out, man. We bring it out.
We also bring trains.
Yeah, we have trains on site and eagles and, you know, usually it's raining. It's actually sunny today. I can't believe it, but...
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay. All right. So we're in high school. We're sports. We got the grades. Everything's good. You graduate with honors, I'm sure.
Well, I will say this. As a sophomore, I met my now wife. So
you did?
Yes. Okay. So I was in a small school. She was in a small school. We were neighboring towns that we co-op for athletics. So that's how we were able to field teams. And she was the cheerleader on the basketball team, and I was a basketball player, and we met on the high school bus on the way home from a game.
So were you, like, trying to foul the ball out next to her so you could, like, try to catch the ball and run in next to her or something like that? Or
you know, actually, and I think if she was here, she would agree. She pursued me. I was not interested at all. I wanted to just focus on sports, school. I was very, like, driven to get somewhere. I didn't know where it was, but I wanted to be successful. And I didn't really think about girls, but she kind of came around, and best thing that ever happened to me, you know.
Wow, Kyle, so. you just, like, everything kind of has dropped in point, man. I'm loving this.
Well, okay. I mean, yeah, I'm That's a very really cool. fortunate guy. Yeah.
Yeah, man, you are. I'm fortunate that you're on our podcast right now. I'm talking to you. I haven't talked to you for a while, and I'm going to jump ahead, and then we'll come back, okay?
Yeah, sure.
So
it's your podcast, bro.
Hey, no, but that's the thing is I talk too much, and my wife and my son have both told me this. So, like, I need to spend more time letting you talk instead of me. I just want to keep the banter going, the conversation going, and things that spark my interest may not be the same that others might spark others, but I've already learned like two or three things about you. I had no idea, and they're awesome, you know? And so I think that's really cool.
A thing I can comment on with this also is like, this is unscripted. He did not prepare any questions. This is all off the cuff.
Yeah, I wing it, man. I'm winging it hard every time. I don't ever write down anything.
Nah.
It's all, we bring it out. We're going to bring it out of you or whatever. Huh? Yeah. Right. This is real deal. So, okay. So you got this hot girl that's a cheerleader and you guys are through high school and then do you go to college?
Yeah. Yep. So my goal in life at this point was to be a software developer. I wanted to be, I wanted to program. My dad was a developer in the web development space for like AT&T, IBM.
What year is this?
01. I graduated in 2001.
Okay. I got to get a timeline going on. So.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important because, you know, this is the thing that I always tell people is I grew up in a time where you were literally told that if you don't go to college, you're not going to be successful. Like you have to go to college, get a big job. And especially you weren't going to be a tradesman and be, you know, looked up at. You're going to be looked down on. It was kind of like, hey, you can't make it in the real world. Maybe you'll go be a tradesman. Maybe
you're going to be a plumber. Yeah, man. No, I mean, plumbers make all the money nowadays.
I know. So
plumbers
I went to college.
Electricians.
Yep. I went to college in towards Chicago, which was, you know, an hour and a half away from home, not far. And a small private college, computer science. They were right in the kind of the corridor of technology. So there was tons of opportunities out of college. So I went there. I got my computer science degree. I did funny story. So I went to college. I was going to do my thing. And I also wanted to continue sports. So I was going to do football and basketball in college. Met with the coaches. They, you know, agreed. We were going to like, there's no scholarships in D3. So it was just kind of like a walk-on deal. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the program. So I went from football. I said, nope, not doing football. I'm just going to do basketball.
What'd you play in football?
I was a running back and a linebacker in high school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I kind of was like, I'm not going to put my time into this program. It wasn't good. Mm-hmm. It was like a losing program. I'm just going to focus on basketball. Personally, I love basketball more.
What'd you play in basketball?
I was kind of like a number two, but I was actually better down low. I just didn't have the height. So I was like, I was like a better four man in high school, but I wasn't tall enough to really make a difference at the college level. So I knew I had to be like a two or a three. Maybe like a baseline guy, you know, going baseline back and forth. I was, Jason, you didn't want to play against me on the offensive side because I was stink on shit, dude. Like that was, that was the thing that I was good at, was you weren't going to score on me. And I just had like unlimited energy as a kid. I don't know. I think I used it all up because I'm tired as hell these days, but in that age, and when I was in high school, you put me on the best player, and I made it my absolute mission.
You'd
to
wear
him
out.
Let you get the ball.
You,
yeah.
By the fourth quarter, they were like, dude, I can barely walk.
Yeah. They hated me. And you know, that was like a pride for me. I just really enjoyed, I think it's the competitive nature, you know, I just wanted that.
What did they call you? Like they must've chanted something like when you like fourth quarter, the opposing team is about to score a bucket, but no, Stumping Horse ain't going to allow it, man. So what were you, the Tasmanian Devil or what? I mean,
I never asked, never cared. Wow. You know, I just know that, you know, that was my role on the team. I wasn't the best shooter. Mm-hmm. I was a decent scorer, but it was all through hard work and like rebounds. It was never because I was out shooting three pointers. Mm-hmm. But defense was my thing. So I wanted to do it in college. My middle brother played college ball at the same college I went to. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do college ball. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the team. I didn't like the coach. Mm-hmm. And so somehow my brother went through the same thing I did. He went and played a year in college, same college, no, 2 years, because I was 2 years younger than him. And the same year he went and started running track at the college. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. We didn't have track in high school, so we didn't know anything about track. Our school is too small. And so he was like, Kyle, come out for track. You're going to love it. The team is amazing. The coaches are amazing. And I'm like, I've never done track before, but I can run. You know, I mean, anybody can run. How hard can it be? So I went out for track my freshman year, and I absolutely loved it, dude. I loved the fact that I was a part of a team and I could be a part of something bigger, but you could individually bust your ass and be successful. So, cool. Long story short, they started me as a decathlete because they're like, what are you good at, Kyle? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never done it. So they're like, you're going to be a decathlon. You're going to go train with the decathletes, and you're going to do all 10 events this year. You're going to learn them all, and then we'll see where you – we'll see what happens, you know? So I did that. I fell in love with the pole vault, which, you know, is kind of crazy, but I think it brings you back to being a gymnast. And so
yeah. –
Yeah, I did the decathlon for 2 years, but I really fell in love with the pole vault. And by the time I was a junior, they let me focus on pole vault. And then for like big meets, they would I would throw the javelin. I was a good javelin thrower and a decent long jumper that could score, you know, maybe some conference points. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing pole vault. I was a four-time All-American pole vaulter by the time I left college. Ooh. And absolutely loved it, dude. You know, I wish I could have kept doing it, but the pole vault is one of those things that you don't just go on a Saturday and like go to the gym and pole vault. So it kind of died at, you know, end of college. And now my daughter's actually doing it. It's her first year as a freshman. So in high school, it's really cool to see that.
That is cool, man. That's like, there's got to be a part of you like, okay, so you're a gymnast. So you have some of the right moves already. And then being able to implement all that into, like, I got to get up over this thing. What was your highest pole vault?
Like 16.5 and a half, I think.
Oh, man. So, that's up there.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays kids are going 16 in high school. It's kind of crazy. They're going higher. But at that time, I mean, 16.5, I think, got me third place in nationals at the Division III level. You know,
Has technology in poles, how they make a pole? Or what do you call it? A vault or a pole or
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the pole technology has definitely gotten better, but I think more importantly, the sport alone has gotten so much more popular. And the, you know, most people would say if you're a pole vaulter, it's going to take you 7 to 10 years to be proficient. It's kind of like golf. It's it's so technical that you can't just do it for a year and hit your potential. You can have athletic ability, which is, I think, really all that I had was good athletic ability to be decent. But I never really had the time to really like grow as a pole vaulter. So I was blessed, and I'll tell you this quick story so we can move on.
Sure.
First team meeting in college, my coach, the overall head coach of the track team, he spoke to us and he said, you know, if this is your freshman year, blah, 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 you do what we tell you over the next 4 years and you will be an All-American, you know? And I'll never forget that because I'm thinking to myself, yeah, okay, you know, how? First off, you know, these guys have been doing a lot of these sports. But my coach was the winningest coach in NCAA history. He was the coach of the century for Sports Illustrated. He has more national champions, more I don't think he ever lost in his 57 years of coaching. He never lost the cross country conference championship. And when I was in college, I think we were on 45 conference track and field team championships in a row. So this dude knew how to win. He knew how to motivate. He knew how to be like the ultimate leader. And every kid on that track team, every guy put like 100% of themselves back to him because you were like almost not even, I don't know if motivated is even a strong enough word, but the whole team and the whole program was so amazing compared to anything I was ever a part of that I literally devoted like all my free time to becoming the best like track and field athlete, dude. And it was because of the coaches.
So were you still doing basketball at this time too?
No, man, I gave it up. I just played for fun. You know, I'd go and play for fun, but I didn't want to be a part of that team. I wanted to devote my, college athletes are kind of different. You kind of go year round, you know? So it was literally just year round track and field.
The track and field, was that a college only thing?
Yeah, I never did it in high school. It was just college.
Okay, cool. Wow, man, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's some really interesting stuff. So you're a national accredited pole vaulter.
Yep. I think I was a conference champion javelin thrower, conference champion pole vaulter, and you know, maybe I scored some points in the long jump, but honestly, the pole vault is so technical. The only reason I was successful, I think, is because I had no skill going into college, but I had the best coach in the country to basically say, here's what you do. And I knew no different versus most people come from high school with really bad habits, no good coaching. And then the coach has to spend, you know, half of their time in college just breaking bad habits versus I just came in and was like, yeah, you want me to do this? I'll just do it. You know, whatever.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so you majored in computer science in college.
Yep.
So what did that give you? Like ability to what?
So by the time I was done with college, I'd already had a full-time job for a year. I was working in an IT department. I was my title was IT specialist, and basically I managed all the hardware. I did some software like database development. It was like a family company, but it was about seven companies across a couple towns, and so I was responsible along with one other guy to manage all of their infrastructure, their data, their storage, their network, their hardware and whatever. So it was a great job, great company, great people, but the problem was it was in the city, and. After college, I drove an hour every morning and every evening to and from work towards the city from the country where I lived. And honestly, my heart rate would go up. My blood pressure would go through the roof because of traffic, because of stupid drivers, people that are just in a hurry. And, you know, it wasn't for me, Jason. And I did it for about a year after college, and then I quit. And luckily I had some friends that owned a manufacturing facility that hired me as a production supervisor, where I was in charge of about 130, you know, maybe 130 workers on the A shift production. So I didn't know much about anything, but I was, you know, I mean, they kind of gave me a bone and let me run this position that they needed. And I think it went fine. My brother was working there also, so I kind of had like an in. And I worked at this company a lot through high school, so I knew the owners. And I did that for about a year. And I'm starting to realize at this point, I don't like working for people. I don't like being told what to do, and I don't like the idea that I could work hard and never see any benefit from that. Because when you're working for somebody else, they determine your worth, and they determine your schedule. They determine they kind of are in charge of your life and where you're going to go. And so before I had my son, so me and my wife were expecting my first kid. I was probably 23 or 24 years old. I told her, I said, you know, I got to do something different. I can't do this forever. And the thought of 40 years of working for somebody just wasn't for me. And I was kind of lucky. I was remodeling my own house that I had bought from my in-laws as a kind of, not a wedding gift, but they kind of threw us a bone. We bought this crappy house that they had on a farm. They were farmers. And we remodeled it. I didn't know anything about remodeling, but my dad did a little bit, so he kind of taught me. And I was like, I think I could do this for a living. I like working with my hands. It's kind of like you get this gratification of seeing something that you create. And so I did. I just kind of like, I quit my job. My son was born in August. I quit in September. And my wife was a teacher, so we had some stable income, not much. I mean, good Lord, I think about what she made those first years and it was nothing. But it was the best decision of my life. I became my own boss. I could work as hard as I wanted to be successful. And, you know, that kind of brings us up to my, you know, where I'm at now, which is a contractor.
Right. Right. So you did this remodel.
Yep.
On the house you were living in. And then what did you decide from there? Like, once that was done, how did RR Buildings become what it is? Like, where did you get your start from that?
So what happened was the church I belonged to in town, small town, you know, I think my town has 1,000 people in it. Everybody talks, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows that Kyle's out here remodeling this farmhouse. And they could see kind of driving by what was going on. And so sometimes people would stop. They would stop me in church and say, hey, I got a deck I want to build. Is that something you'd want to do on the side? So kind of like while I was still working at this other company, I was doing some nights and weekend stuff, kind of small potatoes, doing some remodeling jobs for people that I knew. And, you know, that was when I was like, hey, if I can do this on the side, I think I can do this full time. So I started just remodeling. And of course, this was right around, I think it was 07 is, yeah, my son was born in 06. No, 07. I got to think about that. 06, 07. Yeah, 07, sorry. So I started my business, you know, the whole 2008 crash happened. And I think that helped me because people stopped doing new construction. You know, people were still in my area, farming community. People still had money. There's kind of like old money. People don't really carry debt around me. It's more like we have cash on hand. We want to do this job. So they were still hiring. And I was super inexpensive because I didn't know any better. I was like, hey, just hire me. I'll do it for cheap. And just please hire me. You know, I have nothing to really stand on. I had no way of being reputable. I couldn't tell people I've been in business for 10 years and give them all these portfolios of work like we do now with our Instagram and stuff like that. But I was a stand-up guy. I was honest. I always tell people, like, I returned my phone call. And when I was starting off in business, the amount of jobs I got from people just because I answered my phone or got back to them with a bid like in a timely fashion. They were like, you got the job. That's wow. that was the reason I got the job, because they were like, I just want to work with somebody that I can trust. And you called me back, you gave me a fair price, and yeah, it's yours. So I kind of did that for a few years, remodeling. I was doing everything, decks, baths, kitchens, little like additions, you know, siding, roofing, whatever it was, I did it. Mm-hmm. Then I got my first opportunity to build a new house. It was a custom. It was kind of crazy. It was scary as all yeah. can be. I was scared to death. Oh, yeah.
I could imagine.
Yeah, but it was what I wanted to do. And so I hired a guy that was kind of in the construction space. I'd gone to school with him. He was looking for work. And we tackled this house. We built it. It was a lot of work, but also at the same time, it kind of proved to me that, dude, I mean, yeah, it was scary. There were problems, but you can fix them. You know, you can figure them out. You can do just yeah. about anything if you just work hard, you know? And so fast forward probably another year or two of just doing like that sort of thing, new construction stuff. I was asked to build a barn for my wife's grandpa, and I had never done post frame. I didn't know much about working with metal. It was all very new to me. I had a buddy who worked for another company that did that sort of stuff. And I talked to him and I was like, hey, dude, you want to help me on the weekends? I'll pay you all this money. I just want to learn how to do this. I did it and I absolutely fell in love. And let me tell you why. I didn't want to be in people's kitchens, in their homes, cleaning up everything. This afforded me to show up to a job site. I was outside. Mm-hmm. I got to start with a pile of wood and I just got to build a structure, which I love framing. I love instant gratification. And so we were building these post frames, you know, in days. We would start with nothing and have this big shell of a building to look at. And so I just was like, this is me. This is what I want to do. The problem was I'd been a remodeler for 6-7 years at this point. And that's all anybody knew me as in the area. So I was getting calls after call for roofs and decks and all this other stuff. And I'm like, dude, I need to get out of this mold. I want to do post frames. I want to build people's barns and workshops. I'm in like agricultural, you know, yeah. the Mecca of the Midwest. There's more barns everywhere than houses. So Facebook, I started a Facebook page and I was like, okay, Rural Renovators, which is my business, Rural Renovators Inc., RR. I don't want to be a remodeler, so we're gonna keep the RR. I got the logo already. I don't want people to have to relearn who I am, but I just changed it to RR Buildings and started posting. You know, when I get a job that was post frame, I would post the crap out of it. I'd take pictures. I would, you know,
What year was this?
This is probably 2010, 11, somewhere 11, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, 11. What is it now? Is it 25?
Yeah, 2025.
It had to have been about 2012, actually, because this was about the same time that I hired Greg, who is still with me today. We love Greg.
Gangster.
Greg.
I mean,
that's
what you call him, gangster.
Well, I call him a lot of things, Jason, but I've never called him gangster. No.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I was going to jump ahead for a second, and I never did. Kyle and I and and Greg and my wife and Tim from Awesome Framers and Nikki, we were blessed with the opportunity to go to Germany together and visit Stabila, the factory. Now, I haven't been back to see the new warehouse or anything like that, but that was a great time. I really enjoyed my time with you guys, and that's how I got to know Kyle a little bit better, was on this trip. Had a few moments here and there, breakfast together and all that kind of stuff, dinners and all that. So that was a really awesome trip and a time where I felt like I really got to know you. And that's what I was saying earlier was, I don't know if I physically have seen you much. I know we've been at the same shows.
We're busy.
Yeah, yeah, but we're in different parts of the show. Like at the IBS, you're over in, you know, construction materials. I'm over in the decking sector. Kind of where we should be, really, you know? Yeah. And so that's where I was trying to correlate the link of, all right, you know, I haven't seen you in about 4 or 5 years, But it's just nice to kind of pick up and carry on. So when was that? When did we go over there? Was that in 2020 or 2021 or?
Well, it was definitely after COVID because I remember we had to get all tested before we headed over there. It was probably like 21 maybe.
Yeah, I think it was 2021.
I think it was the summer of 21 because when we got back, things got a little bit worse for a while. And then I remember doing another trip to Sweden and it got real bad over the winter.
Yeah.
But we had to have seen each other between now and then, Jason. There ain't no way we haven't seen each other since Stabil.
No, I think, I don't know, man. I'm not sure, but it's crazy because, like, you'll say, hey, let's meet up. Let's go to dinner or something while we're at this show. Never happens because there's just so much going on and there's so many people coming at you, you know, all at different times. And I don't know how many times you get stopped in the hall, but I'm constantly, people are coming up to me constantly and just wanting to shake your hand and talk a little bit about this or that, love what you do, that kind of thing. So, anyway, so you start your business, you start RR Buildings, and you're doing social media, early adopter, I would say, because that's about the time Instagram started really coming on the scene, was 2011, 2012. And that's when I started it, too. And I have my niece to thank about that, because I was on a little family gathering getaway, and she showed me that app. I didn't learn how to use it as well as you were until a little bit later on, but maybe we can save some of that secret sauce for our Patreon.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a secret sauce or not. You know, I think
I'd love to. Maybe we can talk about it and compare some notes, and I think that would be an awesome,
sure,
little bonus section.
Some people don't get it.
Oh, I think a lot of people don't get it. but a lot of people are starting to figure it out. I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot more people in my sector than there used to be.
Oh, heck yes, dude. The post frame sector's huge.
Yeah. And so to get started early, I'm grateful for that. And I actually, I'm a student of yours, to be honest, as far as social goes. I've learned a lot from you, watching you and a few others. Like back in the day, man, it was you and Murray and Toolaholic and Toolpig and a few other guys that I used to follow, and I'd watch and started learning how to use hashtags better and things like that just because I didn't know what I was doing.
Dude, you and me both, man. Nobody knew what we were doing. And you say Murray and Toolpig, and those guys were my idols back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, when we all got on, those guys were way up here. They had a huge start. And I think that was such a cool time in my life, not because of anything other than the fact that, and maybe you can remember, Jason, go way back to when you started in the business, right? I've never asked you this, or I've never heard you say it. Who taught you Dex?
Well, I learned a little bit from my father out of Reno, Nevada, but I kind of went to the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I pretty much am self-taught.
Yeah, so me too. I mean, I taught myself by reading magazines and looking at This Old House episodes and, whatever I could to figure out, man, this customer asked me to do a tile job in a shower. I've never done that before. Yeah. What do I got to do to waterproof? And I would overthink it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, these kids getting in the trades or even a 50-year-old dude who wants to remodel their bathroom, they can go to the internet and they can watch somebody who is a professional give them great advice. And if they don't like it, they can go to another video from another guy and learn exactly. A different way of doing it. And that, to me, was the most exhilarating part about social media when it started, was guys like Toolaholic or guys like Nick Schiffler, NS Builders, these guys that I would look up to when we started and was like, wow, how are they doing this? Like, and they would show us. They would make a post about how they were doing the side skirts on a stair tread. And I'm like, I had no idea how to do this. I've stressed about figuring it out. And look at that. That's actually not that bad. It's not too hard to do when you know how to do it. And it was an amazing time in my life because I was putting stuff out there in this post frame world that nobody really knew about. And I was the only one doing it. So there was a lot of people watching, but for me, it was this reciprocal, like, education that people were giving me to help me out that really just fueled my fire to like post as much as possible, because I wanted to be in the space talking to other tradespeople about their profession and how I could learn what they were doing.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, so let's see here. You've started your business. You're okay, so let's go in. So you hire Greg.
Yep.
And it's just the two of you.
Yep.
And it has been for a very long time. Like,
yeah. Well, basically, his brother worked for me. His brother worked for me in that COVID range, like maybe mm-hmm. a year or so before COVID, and then a year of COVID. And then he mm-hmm. went off into the military. My buddy that taught me how to build post frames, we worked together for a couple years. When Greg first started, he went off and did his own thing. Greg was 18 years old when I hired him. It's a funny story. I was doing a bathroom remodel for a farmer, and the farmer was an older gentleman, and he had Greg as this young homeschooled kid who, you know, I mean, lived down the road from me, and I didn't even know him because they were homeschooled, so I didn't interact with them. I didn't know the family. He came up to me and he was like, "Hey, Kyle, I got this kid working for me. He just turned 18 and I can only give him like 20 hours a week to help me with my lawn and around the farm and whatever. Can you give him the other 20 hours? I think he needs 40 hours a week so he can like start growing up and whatever." And I'm like, "Oh, eh." At this point, I'm by myself. I didn't really want to work for anybody. And Greg had like 2 diamond earrings. He had like his hat, you know, flat bill, and he had his JNCO jeans. And I'm looking at this kid like, man, I don't want this kid on my job site. You know, like I'm trying to make a presentation about my brand. And so I hired Greg anyway, because I'm just a nice guy. And, you know, about the first couple weeks, I realized he's just a hard worker. You know, you told him to do something. He said, "Yes, sir." He, you know, he said, "Thank you." Like, he was a respectful kid. He was willing to listen. He didn't argue. He didn't already know everything, you know, because
yeah,
we've all hired
perfect.
Guys that know everything.
Perfect.
And we were very similar, and we've kicked it off. And honestly, you know, he's like a brother to me. I try to support him the best I can. My son, and, you know, calls him Uncle Greg. He's known him forever.
Wow.
So, you know,
how
Greg's
cool is
just
that?
A good dude. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. He is a good dude. And big shout out to Greg right now. Greg, we love you, man.
Yep.
The times I've been able to spend, I mean, I remember I was sitting in the back of the rental car. We're heading to Soshko, and oh, hey, I'm hungry. Let's go by. We'll stop by and get something to eat or whatever. And just he just rolls with it, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a kind of mellow, kickback, laid back yep. dude that just rolls with it. And yep. and those are the best kind of people, because like they're flexible, you know?
Yeah. Well, for guys like us, we're pretty high strung guys. Jason, yeah. we like to kind of keep moving, and Greg is always there to support me, you know, and
yeah.
he's kind of like, whatever you want, man. I mean, I had to kick his butt off the job site one day to go get his taxes done. I had to kick his butt off the job site to go to the bank to get his checking account open, because I found out he was putting his checks underneath his bed, basically. Like I'm 10 years on him. So I'm like, we've gotten together and gotten so well together that, you know, I've just always felt like this guy is just 10 years behind me. You know, I want to help him out. And he's kind of like my son. And people always ask me if he is my son.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. But he's made me a better person and a better business owner, a better leader, because I don't think I would be the same person without him. And I like to think that like I'm helping him out also, you know.
It's a two-way street for sure.
Yeah. You know how it is. You learn, like you said, school of hard knocks. I always tell my kids, you can learn the hard way, or yeah. you can learn from other people's mistakes.
Yeah. It's called wisdom.
That's right. So, you know, it's great, man. I hope he'll stick around as long as he wants, and I will always mm-hmm. support him and make sure that whatever he needs, he's got it, because he's just a stand-up dude. And
Man, it's yeah. like it's one of the most dynamic partnerships I've ever seen. And what blows me away is what you guys do construct with just two dudes and some machinery.
Right.
And the machinery, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, because I love hydraulics, man.
Yeah.
I freaking love hydraulics. And
you never have a sore back in the morning, dude.
No. But what you two do, what you complete, what you know, when you step back after it's all said and done and go, wow, man. And with modern technology and modern materials and what you're able to drop into a what you call a pole barn has now become the subcategory, which I think we talked about, and maybe we'll talk about it now or maybe in the bonus section. This term barn dominium.
Right.
Like, you started building these pole barns, but now are you building more barn dominiums than you are pole barns? Or what's your favorite thing to do? What do you like doing right now?
Well, it depends on if I want to make money or if I want to have a challenge. Because if I just build a shop for somebody, a man cave, Greg and I have the systems down. We have the equipment. We can go in there and just knock it out. I would say faster than any other crew. If you're looking at a speed to quality ratio, there's always faster, you know, and there's also better quality, I'm sure. But I think we do a very good job. I think this is what we hang our hat on, is that we are super efficient. The system that, you know, I mean, I've got it down to where, you know, I've taught Greg everything that I know and that I think about when I'm laying in bed at night and trying to think, how can we do this better? What trim detail can we redo so that when we put it up on the building, it's quicker and it's cleaner and everything looks better for an Instagram photo? Because of that, I don't think there's anybody else that puts up a building as nice, as quick, and as cost efficient as us. I mean, dude, I used to get calls from guys and they'd say, hey, I hear you're the guy that puts up 3-car garages for the price of a 2-car garage. And I used to say, yeah, that's me. I can do that. Until I started realizing that's not what I want. I want, like, hey, I hear the guy that puts up a 2-car garage for a 3-car garage price, but I want to pay it because you do a really good job.
Yeah, the quality.
Yeah. And I've never actually, this is, you know, maybe not, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I've never really been able to transition my business into a high-end, expensive builder. Like, you know, I'm in the Midwest. I know a lot of my clients. Yeah. They're friends of family and friends of friends, and it's just kind of like this big group. Man, everybody gets the friends and family discount with Kyle, you know. I don't ever charge anybody what I should. I think based on what we do, I think we're very affordable. And I think because of social media, I've been able to maintain that because
I was just about to inject that is you're able to generate some content about around everything, every aspect of what you do. Even if you're building the same building 10 times in a row, you're going to generate content around it that's different every time you build the same exact building. But I do need to inject a comment right now. If you don't follow Kyle or you don't know him or you've never heard of RR Buildings or what a pole barn is, you got to go to his page and you got to search out some of the details, like the tin snips and what you do with a pair of tin snips and how you notch a piece of trim. And you've done the same video 100 times, but every time I'm just mesmerized by it. And I think I asked you once, I go, how many pairs of those green snips do you have? Because there's a right cutting, a left cutting, and a stand, or a both ways, center, like a green set. So what's your favorite snip?
Right here, man. This is the Midwest snip. I've got probably like 20 right here, and if you don't believe me, I'll grab them.
No, no. I totally believe you. I know this because you've already told me before. But so that's your favorite one right there. Yeah. And if it gets dull?
Yeah, no, you know, they don't. I mean, honestly, I don't think they really ever get dull. Like, unless you're cutting things that you shouldn't cut, I don't think I've ever had a pair go dull. But I do think I just really enjoy a nice new pair. So when I would go to the hardware store, I would just grab a new set and
Is there a particular brand of snip that you
This is a Made in America Midwest snip. So they're made up in Michigan. You know, it's not a huge like Black and Decker company or a Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Like this is a small company. They make a very good snip. And I've been using them literally forever. They're comfortable And yeah, I mean,
have you ever used like the big aviation style tin snips or are?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different styles, and everybody's going to have their own. It'd be like, you know, hammers, right? Everybody's got a different hammer that they love. For me, it's like what I do so much tin snipping. What feels great in my hand and gives me my best cut feeling. Wow. You know, and that's what I've come. I mean, there's other good brands out there. Wist is a good brand. Milwaukee doesn't make a bad snip, but I always come back to Midwest, you know.
Midwest. So that's the ticket for Kyle. And that's, you know, right. What? If you don't listen to this.
It's not sponsored.
No, it's not. But I tell you what, man, if you don't take, if I asked you one thing, like I think of this entire podcast, and you don't pick up on that brand and that type, and you don't go buy a set, then something be wrong with you if you really needed a pair of tin snips, because this man is a master. He can craft a piece of channel or L metal or any profile and cut it in a bizarre set of sequence and turn it into the most amazing, beautiful corner of a building.
Dude,
I'm like,
you're nice, dude.
Holy crap. If I could do my flashing as clean as Kyle does, that's like, what would Kyle do when I'm flashing a deck? I'm like, WWKD.
That's interesting, dude. Every time I've been decking in a heat blanket, I think about WWJD, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
someday I'm going to bend some decking, dude, and
I'll bring a set to you. Like, next time we're in Chicago, we got to get together and we'll bend some deck boards, man.
Yeah,
absolutely,
man.
No, that's for me, that's a thing. Okay, so you get on social, and we're gonna save most of the social stuff for our bonus sector.
Okay.
But you're becoming extremely successful on social media. You once told me what your revenue was just from the social media side of your business, which let's be honest, it is a business, and it's a very important business, because probably like you, my social media business has surpassed my deck building business.
Right.
In revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, building is my passion, and it affords me my second passion, which is sharing and educating and like helping, you know, really open up people's minds to the way we build and the availability to turn this type of a building into so many different uses that are, to be honest, I think a way better built home, a more comfortable home, a more efficient home. There's a lot of things that I know people say I'm crazy because, you know, when people hear pole barn, that's very negative in the building space. But what we're building is not a pole barn. And even though some people say it's still a pole barn, no, it's not, dude. It's an advanced framed structure that is thought out, that is very well built, strong, engineered, and efficient for people. And my clients, dude, every client says the same thing when we're done. They can't believe how comfortable and quiet their home is. And they are, you know, they're not young people, they're older people, and they've lived in a lot of different houses.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just different. And nobody likes different. So a lot of times, you know, people are like, nah, it's still just a barn. No, I mean, the one we're building now, you would drive by and nobody would ever ask if that was a barn. Not one person.
If you're putting stone on the side of a building and putting columns out front and wrapping them and doing covered porches and all this cool stuff, yeah, man. Like, I have a shop that's basically a pole barn.
Yep.
You know, they dumped the post 4 feet deep in concrete and built up a structure. But I can't live in it.
Yep.
You know,
I haven't put a wood post in the ground since 2013.
Yeah, man. So there you go. So the way you do it, I think you have it down to a science. And that's funny when you say all this efficiency. And see, building science has become a real thing in the industry. But I'm not a house builder, so you know, you're only going to capture my attention on that kind of stuff for a limited amount of time because I work outside.
Right.
You know, and I always have, and I probably always will. At this point in my career, I've been at it for 35 years. I'm probably not going to change my career path. You know, I may start building less intense projects eventually because my physicalities are just going to overcome my ability. But until then, you know, I'm just trying to do what I do as well as I can. And that's why I want to have some of the most people that I respect in the industry and people that I think are doing an amazing job, either in their work life or their social life or whatever. That's what this podcast is about. It's deck related, but I think only 50% of the people I've had on my podcast so far are actually deck builders. And the rest are like people like you that I just highly respect. I was like, hey, I want to get some of the biggest influencers that I know personally and see if they'll come on my show.
Oh, dude, I'm always down. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
Had to make it happen.
Well, I'm grateful, man. I'm super grateful. Are we?
Me too.
You're doing really well. You're building these killer barns. And what's your backlog usually?
So like during the real height of social media, you know, a couple of years ago, I was like 2 years out, two, three years out, because everybody wanted to get on the list. I have done a very good job of saying no now. And my goal is to never be more than a couple projects away. So if I'm, if I've got a couple projects, man, I'm not really interested. I'll tell you, you know, I'll tell the person, I'd love to do it if you're willing to wait, but I'm not ready to sit down and commit to this because I can't. I can't. I have too much going. I'm not just a builder. I do a lot of traveling. I've got a lot of, you know, engagements that I have to take care of that are on the other side of my business. And honestly, I just want to enjoy life. I don't want to be stressed out about work all the time. So I'm trying to like stay a season of work at a time. You know, like I'm looking, I'm looking at my summers booked. But what I'm going to do this fall, winter, I don't know. And that's where I want it.
Cool. And then, so when you're doing, like, let's say you're going to World of Concrete or you're going to IBS or whatever trade show and you're gone. Like, I like, when I'm doing these trade shows, I don't like coming in day of and leaving day of. I like coming in a day early, maybe 2 days early, and leaving and then staying an extra day after. I'm taking Kiki with me a lot more now so that that becomes more of a – it's not a vacation, but, boy, I tell you one thing, Kyle. I do so much better when I have my wife with me than when she's away, you know? And so I know with young kids and your wife has her job and all that, you know, that becomes a little more difficult. I'm just saying. But anyway, so – what do you do with Kyle? Is he more on site now while you're out of town, or does he come with, or did you give him time off, or what?
Well, it just depends on the job. So Greg is
always,
Greg is always able to come with most of the time. I'm like, you want to come, you know, like the Stabila thing, you know, I invited him to come there. He's been to Sweden twice, Switzerland twice. I've taken him tons of different places. He doesn't always want to go. He doesn't like to sit there and, you know, have a thousand people come up and talk about the channel. And so, you know, I give him the option. I'm like, do you want to work? I'm going. So if I'm leaving and I have nothing for you, I'm paying you. Like, this is my commitment. So like I'm committed to Greg. I don't just throw him to the side. If I'm busy and I have nothing for him to do, then he's getting paid to sit at home and do whatever the heck he wants, because I think that's my responsibility. I'm leaving for my own personal reasons. It's not fair to him because I am filming so much. I don't want him to go to the job site and do a bunch of work and then I miss out on the filming. That's just the way it is, but it works out good. He loves it, you know?
Great. Awesome. I mean, that's cool that you take care of him.
Greg has the least amount of work that any right-hand man in the construction world has, the least amount of stress. And I say that affectionately. He doesn't have to worry about a darn thing. He doesn't ever have to come up with, you know, any logistics or figure any math or do anything. He just is there to help.
He assembles.
And he
helps you
is
assemble.
A great help. Yep.
Awesome. Does he drive the machinery or is that all you?
Oh, no, no. I mean, he does everything. I mean, you know, I think we just have roles. So we've worked so long together so well. We don't even talk about what we're doing. It's like, we know we're going to go do roofing today. We know what tool he gets out, what tool I get out, what machinery we get into. We load up the right material. Like, it's, we don't even have to talk about really the task.
Cool. What a beautiful relationship. All right, guys, Kyle. You are just the most amazing person I've ever met, and thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm so grateful.
I think we have to have a part two, but for those that want a little bit more, stick around and check out our Patreon. Calvin, how do we do that?
You click the link in the description, and it'll take you to our Patreon.
Yep.
You subscribe for $5.
And buy a t-shirt while you're at it. They're down in the description, too. You'll put it down there?
It's already there.
It's there. See? See? Hit that music. Are you playing that music?